Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Mike Maxson for Chad Hartman as we remember Sid Hartman today and will throughout the day. Eric Estefa is going to take a shot as well at 5 o'clock. Several guests, including Bud Selig, Rod Carew. Quite a day. If you knew the main dimensions of Sid Hartman, you knew that health was high on his list. And he was not above borderline panic if he had a tickle in his throat or if he felt that his hip was a little out of joint when he was walking, any of those things. Sid was quick to head to the doctor's office, and he built quite an alliance of different doctors. But the one that he was closest to, orthopedic Pat Smith, Dr. Pat Smith, and he joins us now. And Doc, I got to tell you, I looked at that. I'll try to get through it again. That picture today of us at J.D. Hoyt's, you and I and Dave Lee and Pat Monahue and Sid. And I'm so glad we had that night together.
It was a wonderful evening, Mike. It was very special to me. It's been a difficult 24 hours, as you know. Just still processing this. We really lost a great friend and one of my true mentors has helped me in my sports career.
When did you first meet him and how?
Well, I was hired in 1985 by then athletic director Paul Giel to take over the football program. And Sid came to every practice. I came to every practice. So he came over for the first time in his kind of his usual kind of abrupt manner, introduced himself and said, well, I hope that you're better than the genius that they replaced you with.
And that's another story by itself, by the way, that I'll tell later when you're not on. Yeah.
And then he said, so he kind of walked away from me, and then he came back again and turns around and said, by the way, if I need to get a hold of you, what's your phone number? So I got that's the first thing I got. So,
and you know all about him, of course. You grew up here. You played football at Hamline University. You're a great academic, obviously, if you went to Hamline, but you knew him. You grew up with him.
Yes, sir. I read the Peach column in the paper mm-hmm. when I was in 5 or 6 years old and followed him forever.
And how did it move on? Because there were certain people that Sid connected with, and many he didn't. I mean, not that he was just indifferent to. Why did your relationship evolve as such?
Well, he traveled with us, and he, as you know, Mike, there were rules, and then there were Sid's rules, and the training room forever was always off limits to reporters, but not to Sid. I mean, Sid would come in and would want the injury report even before the coaches got it. But the thing about Sid was that there were things that were on the record and off the record.
Yep.
And you could trust him.
Yep.
He was. If he said, Sid, I'll give you the scoop, because he was relentless about that. But here are the facts. But this is off the record. And he never broke that promise.
And he was not above trying to browbeat you into letting him do it on the record. But he would not. If you said off the record, he would honor it. But he was not above beating the hell out of you to see if he could do it on the record.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so then later he becomes a patient.
Yes, he did.
You know, an orthopedic. You're an orthopedic, one of the top we've ever seen in this town.
I get that call. The inevitable terrible call at about 11 o'clock at night from Sheldon Burns, who's his primary care doctor, who takes care of the Vikings, and Sheldon went to Hamlin too with us. And that Sid has broken his hip. And I think, oh my word, yeah. Here he is, 97 years old,
yep,
with a hip fracture. And if you look at the result from hip fractures in people that are 97, this is not a good prognosis.
No.
And so we get him admitted. We operate him on the following day. And Sid was, he was, let's say, not a model patient, but I think his stubbornness got him through it, and he went on to recover very well. And actually, you saw him walk around that walker. That walker was kind of a thing he never really utilized.
No, he'd pick it up sometimes.
Pick it up, and he still was walking faster than I could. I couldn't keep up with him. And, no, he recovered very well, and actually was very productive thereafter.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it when he came. I went and saw him at Southdale there, and I remember walking in there, and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I broke my hip." Like, what do you mean, how am I doing, you know?
And, you know, Sid wanted to go back to work the next day.
Yes, he did.
And so we were going to put him in a transitional care. That didn't work.
Remember that?
He wasn't no part of going to transitional
nope.
care. He was going home.
Yep.
I'm going home so I can watch my TV, then yep. I can write my column and get back to my job.
And so that's when he put the elevator in his house.
Exactly. Yep. On the outside of the house.
Yeah, on the outside. God help the person that buys that house.
So... I lost your mic.
I said, God help the person that buys that house, because the elevator takes you up, and then, you, as you know, you get off, and you're in the closet of his bedroom. That's where
the
elevator stops.
In the closet of his bedroom, exactly. you go up there, and you know he's got like 10 TV screens watching 10 different sports events. He's got his telephone. He's got his recorder there, and he never missed a beat. Never missed a beat.
Never missed a beat. But tell me about his, and this has something to do with orthopedics too. But his will, his will to live, and his will to do what he could, you know, what he loved to do on a daily basis, was second to none. I mean, when people ask me about him, I just truly believe that the sense of purpose he had in his life overcame every obstacle to the day he died.
There's no question about that. As you've talked about before, he was the most competitive person I've ever seen, both in his own market with other writers, but about himself. There was nobody that valued life more than he did, and he was not going to give up on things. And there was no compromise in anything he did.
No, and he, you know, he lived. Somebody has asked me one day if he could have been, if in his prime, he could have been what they do on ESPN now, or like an NFL insider. And I said, you know, that really wouldn't have fit him. He could have got the information, but he would never have wanted to just do it over the phones. He loved being out with people. The interaction, the one-on-one, and that's why this last 7 months was so awful for him. He just loved the interaction. He didn't care if you were giving it to him or he was giving it to you. He loved it.
He had to be one-on-one, person-to-person.
Yes.
That media would not have fit him well at all. That wasn't his personality.
Now, he would from time to time, if he had a pain or an aggravation, he didn't necessarily think that he needed an appointment to see you, did he?
Well, let's just, Sid would just show up. Actually, his whole family. I mean, be in the middle of an office, and my secretary, Nita, got to know him very well. All of a sudden, he said, well, Sid's in a room. Well, we just put him in a room. Or Chad's here with his son. Yep. Or that was just a Hartman family. I took care of them all. And it was usually unannounced and with an assumption that they'd be taken care of. And it was my joy to do it.
Yeah, because you couldn't help. And case in point, like I said, I'm so glad you and I and Dave and he had that that dinner about a year ago at J.D. Hoyt's, because it didn't matter how mad you got at him. You couldn't help but love him, could you?
Exactly right. I'm going to miss him dearly.
Dr. Pat, I appreciate it so much, and I know how much Sid appreciated you and how much you meant to him.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it very much.
You bet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.